This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Plenty of guests throughout the course of this week. It's almost like Super Bowl week here. I know it's All-Star week, so we have a blank canvas, which is always fun to discuss some stuff. We got into it with the Soto stuff and the All-Star games and everything else, but it's been fun to have a bunch of different guests on, whether it's, you know, Brian Myers wrestling on Monday. We had Damian Priest, another wrestler, on Tuesday. Terry Collins in studio yesterday. Who else did we have yesterday, Hoff? I feel like we had somebody else. And then today we have a bunch of guys. Sandy Alderson will be joining us at 1:20, so it's been fun. Tomorrow we have more. David Wright will be on with us tomorrow. In the 1 o'clock hour, we'll have Josh Satin in studio, one of Wright's best friends. We'll have him at 11, and then Daniel Murphy at noon. It's guest overload. I never knew I could talk to this many people at once. It's been fun, though, especially catching up with some of the guys today. Well, I haven't talked to Willie ever, and it was nice to talk to him. Maz was fun. Check it out in case you missed it on the free Odyssey app, all the guests that we had today having some fun conversations. Like I said, Sandy Alderson will come up at 1:20 as well. So we'll get back to your calls here, 888-808-1019. The BT and Sal Show on the Fan is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac is the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. And while there are no games to react to tonight, tomorrow, baseball will be back, and it's going to be a big weekend for the Mets because of the retirement of the number five. That'll be the big storyline going into the weekend against the Reds. Obviously, they got to win a game. We'll see how the rotation shaping up out of the break with now a healthy rotation for the first time all year long. But it's going to be about David Wright, and for the Yankees, it's going to be about trying to get back to winning and regain the lead in that tightened American League East, and they have a tough schedule right out of the gate. Forget about the Braves, although going to Atlanta and the Braves getting a chance to reset at the break a little bit, that could always be dangerous. But coming out the other side of that, Yanks got a bunch of division matchups coming up, so it's going to be a fun second half. And of course, today marks 2 weeks from the trade deadline. What will each of these teams be doing here? We know that they're going to be aggressive. Cashman has said so. Andy Martino of SNY reported that the Mets will also be aggressive. But to what extent is their definition of aggressive the same as ours would be? Where Cashman's always making moves, but he's also been reluctant to deal with top prospects. How much money will Howell and the Yankees approve to take back in a deal? You either got to give up top prospects or take on a lot of money. Trying to thread the needle can be tough. That's not really all in. All in to me is it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt you if you give up that top prospect. But you're getting back a player who could be the difference maker in winning a World Series, their first one since 2009. It's got to hurt a little bit. Yankees don't like being stung at all when they make these moves. If you've noticed, usually these moves don't sting. Even the move for Soto where they gave up a ton of pitching was like, yeah, no big deal. We got Juan Soto back. All right, Michael King, big deal. Now, years later, it might be hurting them a little bit. But for the most part, Cashman hasn't made the deal that stung. Cashman hasn't made the deal that stung. He might have to do that if he wants to win a World Series. Mike is calling from Clifton Park, New York. What's up, Mike?
Hey, great show. So I have two Mets points. Point number one, I think whatever trade the Mets make, they're going to have a hard time getting to where they want to go if Alvi and Vientos, who they were counting on, come back and continue to do really nothing. So those guys have to get going, I think. And then,
well, Alvarez, Mike, has been, I'll let you make your second point in a second. Alvarez has been raking in the minor leagues. And now, who the hell knows what that's going to mean? He's hit well in the minor leagues before. But yeah, exactly. But I get the feeling, Mike, that this might be a little bit different. Maybe it's because of my belief in Alvarez. Maybe it's because he had a 20-plus home run season, you know, a couple years ago. I think that this reset, sending him down, not only was necessary, I believe he has the right mentality to thrive. He handled this adversity. Let's see how he comes out the other side of it. He's doing so far the job in spring in the minor leagues. The Mets are happy with both his offense and his defense there, and they're going to make sure when they bring him up, he's ready to go, and they need him to come back and immediately be an impact player. That can change the entire look of that Mets lineup.
Yes, it can. And point two, Sandy Alderson. Can you find out, was he in favor of his, at the time, GM, Zach Scott, trading Pete for Armstrong? Did he give a thumbs up or a thumbs down? But he was like, you know, do it anyway. You're the acting GM here.
Well, he was the president, maybe, at that time. Hoff, can you just look that up before we get seen? Yeah. Okay, so if he was the president, I will ask him then about that, Pete Crow Armstrong.
Awesome,
I've talked
awesome.
To Zach Scott about that. I talked to Zach, and thank you for the call, Mike. We appreciate you checking in. I have talked to Zach Scott about that, and he explained it in that the Mets pitching prospect, Matt Allen, who you may be familiar with, maybe not. He's since had, I think, Tommy John and a bunch of injuries. But he was the top pitching prospect at the time in the organization. And that was the guy that the Cubs wanted for Baez. And the Mets said no, because they valued Matt Allen more. And with every organization, there's going to be some people who do value him, you know, Matt Allen more than others. Other people be like, nah, we can't give up PCA. But ultimately, they decided on trading Pete Crow Armstrong and keeping Matt Allen. And as we know, that was a massive mistake. So I'd be curious to see how hands-on Sandy was. Zach Scott was the GM, but was Alderson the president? I'm pretty sure he was the president back then. Just find the years, Hoff, that that Alderson was the actual president of the Mets, not GM. Now, remember, they went through some issues, too, with the hiring of, what's the dude, Jared something that, no, Zach Scott, yes. The other guy, Jared Porter, thank you. There was some, you know, front office follies going on there with the Mets under Alderson. And this, of course, after Mickey Callaway as well, so there was some issues there. But more so with Sandy, so he was the president at the time of trading Pete Crow Armstrong. More so with Sandy, I'm going to be looking to talk about David Wright and the Wright contract. And I haven't had Sandy on. I don't think I've had him on in the majors. I might have had him on my radio show when I was down in the minor leagues at OR. So I haven't talked to him in a while, other than some random texting on occasion. But I want to keep it more so to David Wright, although I can ask him a little bit about the PCA trade. I'm not sure even how long we have him. So I'm just happy he's going to take a few minutes to join us coming up at 1:20. But Sandy, what happened with Mickey Callaway? Sandy, what happened with Jared Porter? I'm not going there. So if you're looking for that, you could go elsewhere. I'm looking more to talk about the success that he had running the Mets. Obviously some difficult things as well, but more about the success and then more about the David Wright stuff. But I'll hit him with some hard questions. Just not going to be about the Porter or the Mickey Callaway stuff. I'll probably steer clear of that. The PCA thing would be up for grabs. Hey, look, we talked about it earlier too. Whereas it's not just about go be aggressive and go get this guy and go trade for that guy. It's also about identifying the right ones. That actually may be the biggest one. Like for the Yankees, as an example, they chose to hold on to Anthony Volpe years ago because they believed he was going to be a superstar. Not a star, not an all-star. They believed he was going to be a superstar. They didn't trade him for Luis Castillo years ago. That was the guy they identified as being their future shortstop. Now, was money a factor in that? And the reason why I say that is because they had an opportunity to go out there and potentially sign one of the top shortstops, let's say Corey Seager. He was a name that was brought up. There were a bunch of guys, Trey Turner, you know, before he signed with the Phillies, Lindor, before he actually got traded to the Mets and got signed. Like, there was going to be a huge free agent shortstop market. So the Yankees could have parted with Volpe, brought in Luis Castillo, who at the time we're talking about, they need high-end pitching. They need a top pitcher. They could have done that and signed the shortstop. Think of how things might have played out differently. They didn't. Now, did they not do that because they didn't want to pay Corey Seager what it would take? Or was it just their belief in Volpe? Or a combination of both? Either way, Volpe has not come anywhere close to living up to the expectations on him. And you have to look back at that and think about, well, what if? It wasn't the right move. Right? I mean, keeping Volpe and not going to get... You tell me the Yankees are better off with the way that things worked out than the way that they could have been had they traded Volpe. And I'm not saying you have no idea how it would have worked out as far as winning a World Series, but Volpe already has not lived up to what he was supposed to be, so that's already strike one. And strike two was that their results prior to that, they didn't get to the World Series without Luis Castillo, let alone win one. But I would say that the Yankees made an error in evaluation there. I don't know how you could argue that. Just like I would say that the Mets, while I believe the right move years ago was to trade for Javi Baez and make the aggressive move, they needed it. You also have to remember the time that it was. This was an organization that the fan base was starved for a big move, which is why they made the trade for Lindor. And for the record, and I was on record saying, this is when Alderson was running things, I would have traded for JT Realmuto, and George Springer would have been the guy that I would have wanted to sign, not Francisco Lindor. They chose to sign Francisco or trade for Lindor. And then once they did, that was the first mega move under new ownership, and everybody was excited. And naturally, what followed immediately, before you could even get to the excitement of the trade of Francisco Lindor, that magnitude of player coming to the Mets, it was, uh-oh, but they're going to let him walk after the season. That was the talk, because prior to that, there was no trust there with ownership, even though it was a new owner. People needed to see it happen, which is why I thought it was imperative that the Mets lock Lindor up, which they did. And then, remember, people were questioning that move for the first couple years of Lindor's tenure here. But the trade for Javi Baez was another move where fans needed to see the team be aggressive. So I don't hate the idea of going all in for Javi Baez. Where they made their mistake was choosing to value Matt Allen instead of Pete Crow Armstrong. And I guess I could understand it because, especially, you know, even 3 years ago, you value the pitching, the high-end pitching. But if you ask me now, I'd much rather have I've learned to evolve with the sport. And David Stearns has taught me that because of the way that he's gone about building a pitching staff and the results that have followed, not just in Milwaukee, but obviously last year with the Mets and even this year with the Mets. Look at the way Stearns has built the staff and what he's invested in his pitching staff since he's been with the Mets, and look at the results. Hard to argue. So I would value more so the position player, especially a freaking center fielder that you have under control, more so than a pitcher who, even the best of the young arms, and the Mets need some young arms, we know that, but even the best of the young arms, like the best guys, start every 5 days and give you seven innings. That's the best guys. And they're always going to be a higher risk for injury. And they're always going to fluctuate more so than the position player. I just think the position player is the more sound, safer bet. The practical, logical move to make. But the Mets and the organization with Zach Scott, they decided to make the trade of Pete Crow Armstrong. And that's one. I don't get caught up in this stuff. I don't care. Once players get traded from here, I don't care really what they do elsewhere. This is one that hurts for two reasons. Number one, Pete Crow Armstrong is a stud. I mean, one of the best in the game. Number two, because he's a center fielder, which has been a glaring weakness for the Mets really since Carlos Beltran. Right now, it is an honor to welcome in a very special guest. I have not talked to Sandy Alderson in a long time on the phone, or on the radio. Texted a little bit with him throughout the course of the years. He was great last time we had him in studio at SNY, and obviously ahead of the David Wright retirement. Wanted to talk to him if he had a few minutes. He's in town this week. Sandy, Sal Licata here. How's it going?
Sal, doing very well. Happy to be with you.
Thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate it. All right, let's start with David Wright. Yeah, obviously, you're in town for that. You were here a long time with David. Where does he rank for you amongst players, all-encompassing, not just on the field, but even more so off the field? I'm sure the perfect type player that you would want as the face of your organization. Where does he rank for you, being the baseball maverick you are? Where does Wright rank amongst your time in the sport of guys that you've worked with?
Well, he ranks right at the top, there's no question, in terms of his ability as a player, his professionalism, but also just in terms of, you know, the person he is. Over the period of time I've been in baseball, I've been associated with, have known a number of great players. But, you know, David had a very unique combination, terrific ability, leadership, but also, you know, just a fine human being. I think that was reflected in the fact that he was signed to a long-term contract by the Mets at a time when long-term contracts from the Mets were difficult to find.
Was there ever a thought that you guys might not bring Wright back?
Well, you know, unless there's a deal, there's always the possibility that it won't happen. But you know, the Wilpons were committed to bringing him back, and I think the biggest issue for us was convincing David that the team was on the right track and that staying with the Mets, you know, would ultimately not only benefit him financially and keep him in New York for the rest of his career, but also allow him to play on a team contending for a championship. And fortunately, that did happen in 2015, and subsequently at least made the playoffs in 16. So the fact that he signed with the Mets, I think, was one evidence of the Wilpons' commitment to the Mets as a brand and an institution. And secondly, I think it was a reflection of David's commitment to the Mets and faith in the Mets and the direction they were taking at the time.
Now, who sold him on that the team was going to be good? Because the money is one thing, but trying to sell him, was that your job? That's a tough sell, Sandy, to tell him at that point that you guys are going to be good again.
Well, that was my job. And, you know, what I remember most vividly is flying down to Virginia, and Dave and I went out and played golf. And I don't remember what the score was. I'm not a great golfer. David would probably tell you he's not a great golfer either. But it gave us an opportunity, just the two of us playing, to talk about the team, talk about the direction, talk about some of the players we had in the minor league system. And, you know, I think that helped to convince David that we were on the right track. And ultimately, you know, putting aside his ability and performance and what have you, and obviously there were some injuries that impacted that, one of the biggest reasons that David continued to be such a great asset for the Mets was that he bought into the future. He bought into what we were trying to do, and he was our biggest proponent and most credible one after he signed with us and stayed with us.
How rewarding was it for you as the general manager at the time, who had to sell him on you guys having a bright future, to eventually see him take the grandest stage in the World Series and then homer at Citi Field, knowing that he came back after all the injuries, all that stuff? How rewarding was that for you?
Well, look, you know, that whole season, 2015, was rewarding, but seeing David come back, his first game back, I think, was in Philadelphia. He hit a home run. The home run in the World Series that we didn't win, but I remember him crossing home plate. I think it was in the Dodgers series, may have been the Cubs, but slid home and just had a over the top emotional reaction, kind of fist in the air and then driving it down. And I remember that vividly, and I think that said it all in terms of.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
You know, what that meant for David and to David and what it meant for the Mets.
You know, I talked to Terry about this. We had Terry Collins on yesterday, and he's told me, you know, about the David Wright getting back in that lineup that you gave, the game that you mentioned in Philadelphia. Was that one of the days that you let Terry fill out the lineup? Who's putting that lineup together, Sandy? Come on, give us the truth.
Despite popular and conventional wisdom these days about front offices and what they dictate to managers, I can assure you, I never told Terry how to make up the lineup. You know, managers and GMs, managers in front offices, have a unique and evolving relationship. And I'm not going to tell you that there aren't a lot of those front offices now that you know, dictate more to managers than a few years ago. But you know, I always had confidence in Terry, and you know, that was his purview. I made suggestions from time to time as to what I was thinking, but he made those decisions just as he made suggestions from time to time on what players we should acquire and bring up, what have you. So you know, there was a kind of a synergistic relationship there. But in terms of making out the lineup, no, I never did that.
Yeah, glad we brought some clarity to that. BT and Sal, the fan, BT on vacation. We're talking with Sandy Alderson, head of David Wright, having his number five retired on Saturday. What was the biggest challenge you faced, Sandy? I mean, you came here to dig this franchise out and maybe bring some stability and try to build a foundation. Talk about the first time, obviously. What was the biggest challenge that you faced when you took over leadership of the Mets as the general manager?
Well, I think the biggest challenge was just bringing a little bit of continuity and stability to the front office. I mean, anytime, you know, there are changes that are made, those changes trickle down, you know, various levels. And so, you know, it was important to stabilize things and then over time create a sense of consistency of approach. And you know, that's what owners do or should do. That's what you know, higher executives should do, is figure out a strategy and pursue it, but pursue it consistently. You know, fans have expectations, and those expectations can vary, And at the same time, you got to be careful not to defeat those expectations, you know, not live up to them. And when I say expectations, I mean reasonable ones. I'm not talking about, well, you got to win the World Series every year. No, I think in our case, particularly in those early years, it was trying to make decisions, consistently that gave fans confidence in the approach that we were taking. And in order to create that confidence, you've got to meet various benchmarks. At that time, I don't think our fans were so concerned about winning the World Series as they were in the organization and the franchise, you know, the team on the field getting better. And that's why, the minor league system was so important. And think about some of the trades that we made. Wheeler we acquired, and Syndergaard, and, you know, people like that. I think those are the kinds of points at which fans either develop more confidence or less confidence, because they're pretty smart. They understand what's going on. They know the minor league system. They know a lot more than anyone in the business typically gives them credit for.
Yeah, fans had to be patient at that time, Met fans, because you're right, it wasn't about the World Series. Certainly it was about, geez, can we get back to some respectability here, and then eventually maybe go get some big-time players, which eventually you did in 2015. But one of the, I guess, black marks or dark clouds would have been the Reyes situation, where, and that's why I asked about Wright before, was there ever a thought about letting Wright go? I remember coming on the air being like, dude, if they let David Wright go, he might as well fold up shop. But you did let Jose Reyes go off of winning a batting title, and it was supposed to be Wright and Reyes. Those were the Met fans' guys. And Reyes said, he told me that you guys never offered him a contract to come back. Is that accurate?
Well, I wouldn't say that. In the specific sense, I guess it would be, yes, that would be accurate. But at the same time, his agent knew pretty much where we were. In other words, I never made him a formal offer that they could accept. On the other hand, that was in part not to get into a bidding war with other clubs. And also, at the same time, making it pretty clear as to where we would be. But look, the other thing is, franchise was in a very different place and at the end of 2011 than it was in 2014. So in just, you know, a short period of time, things had changed somewhat for the franchise as a whole, and, you know, and for the team and where we were and hope to be competitively. So there were differences, but no, I think Jose is accurate. There was never a formal offer made, but we had conversations that made it, I think, pretty clear where we would be. And, you know, the Marlins offered more.
Yeah, and obviously the finances at that time, like you said, were different. We'll get to the Steve Cohen finances in just a second. You were at both ends of the spectrum here. But tell me about the Cespedes trade in 2015. I remember thinking, come on, let's go. The team's right there. You need to make a big move. We're going nuts right down to the deadline. Sandy, you were toying with us before you got Cespedes.
Hey, I'll tell you, we weren't toying with anybody. We were working hard several days before the deadline, but as you recall, and SNY did a terrific documentary called 5 Days in Flushing or something. I forget the title. But, you know, the series of events that took place from the, you know, the non-trade involving Flores to a rain-delayed huge loss to the San Diego Padres to a couple of guys being taken off the table as trade possibilities, and then ultimately, you know, making the deal with just a few minutes left before the deadline to get Cespedes. It was crazy. It was a roller coaster, but and happy to say that the front office at that time and everybody working there was resilient enough to deal with all those setbacks during that period of time. But anyway, we weren't trying to make it that dramatic, but you know, in my career, and going back to the A's, made a lot of deals at the deadline, and, you know, some worked out really well and some less so. I remember way back when we actually made a deal for the for a guy named Willie McGee, who was leading the National League in hitting at the time. But Cespedes by far was the deadline acquisition in my career that had the biggest impact over the following couple of months. It was just incredible what he was able to do and what the team was able to do. Because if you remember, we weren't even in first place when we made that deal. We were a couple of two or three games behind. So in credit to the Wilpons for going for it. And I remember at the time, people were saying, look, they got to get another bat. They got to get another bat, which we all knew. And I remember talking to someone, I think it was someone in ownership, and saying, look, we don't make a trade for a bat. We could get all the way to the World Series. And if we lose it, people will say it's because we didn't get a big bat. And that wasn't the basis for making the trade, because we knew we needed some more offense. It wasn't like we were just bowing to public opinion. But, it's a credit to the Wilpons that made that deal. Because if you recall, we traded a guy who was the rookie of the year the following year. So, anyway, that one worked out.
Yeah, Michael Fulmer. And you know what? Don't care. Yeah. Cespedes, thank you very much. It was two things. It was go get a big bat, call up Conforto. You eventually did both, and you were in the World Series. We're talking with Sandy Alderson right now. David Wright can have his number retired, number five retired on Saturday. Sandy in town, like a bunch of Mets. It's going to be a great event out there over the course of the weekend. Now, how about the transition from that, which was great success in 2015, to shopping at the gourmet section under new ownership, Sandy, where you took over as president as well? What were the differences that you faced when you took over a team that was owned by Steve Cohen?
Well, look, the Wilpons had been longtime owners of the Mets. I was talking to Fred the other day. He was involved with the Mets, I believe, for 40 years. I mean, a long time. And so Steve coming in, it's a whole new ball game. And certainly, there were different financial resources, obviously. But also, I think coming in new that Steve was, anxious to put his imprint on the team. And so one of the first things that we did, one of the first things we did successfully was acquire Francisco Lindor, which I think was, the kind of acquisition that probably would not have happened in the past. And, Francisco's been great. Like a lot of things, evolves over time, and he's just been fantastic for the Mets overall. So, shopping in that part of the market was different, and that has continued.
What was it about Lindor that you in the front office identified that you wanted him to be the main piece that you were going to acquire?
Well, there were a lot of things that went into that. First of all, he was available. And that type of player isn't always available. He was playing for Cleveland, as everyone knows, and they don't have a history of, in recent years at least, of signing players to big contracts. So he was available, but he was the kind of player that we thought would ultimately flourish in New York, and also had the kind of charisma that would allow him to blossom in New York, not only as a player, but as a personality. And so I think he just, had the combination of qualities and ultimately star power that made him attractive to play in New York.
Did you feel pressure from the fan base at all, or the media, knowing what you were under, you know, through the Wilpon era, where they were not, you know, as financially stable as Cohen, certainly, after you made that trade for Lindor to lock him up to send the message that, hey, this is different this time around?
The short answer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Is for me, I think no. For Steve, perhaps yes. And I'll tell you why. So when I was with the Oakland A's back in 1992, we made a trade at the deadline and traded Jose Canseco to the Texas Rangers. And we got back several players, including a guy named Ruben Sierra. And, you know, sometimes when you make a trade, you feel as if there's some pressure to keep a player to justify the trade. But the bottom line is, in that case, you know, I spent the next several years trying to get rid of Ruben Sierra after we signed into a multi-year contract to justify the trade. So, and he ultimately went to the Yankees. We got their headache, Jose Tartable, and they got our headache, Ruben Sierra. Anyway, so I've had this experience. And if you think about it, if you're going to invest, let's say you were going to invest, just take a round number, $100 million, and you feel like you have to invest in a guy you just traded for, you really have to understand that you can invest that $100 million in anybody. If you got $100 million to invest, it doesn't have to be the player you traded for. They're fungible in that sense. You know what I mean? So the point is that Yeah, there seems to be, there's this apparent pressure to sign somebody you traded for, but the bottom line is money, and if you're willing to spend $100 million on a guy just because you traded for him, isn't really smart unless you take into account all the other options for spending that money.
You know, and that makes me, Sandy, think about the Cespedes thing. You trade for him, he goes nuts, and then maybe even against your better judgment where you project forward, I don't know if he's a good investment. The fans would have ridiculed all you guys. You couldn't let him go, so you didn't. You signed him to that deal, and then obviously it didn't work out where he kept getting banged up.
Well, actually, he signed two deals, I think. So we traded for him, then signed him to a shorter-term deal, and then signed him again, I believe. And maybe there was an option involved. But that wasn't about justifying the trade. That was about the fact that if you go back and look at the data, quote unquote, when he played for the Mets, the Mets won. You know, that's there's a sort of a glaring direct connection between when Cespedes played. If you take 2015, 2016, when he played, the Mets won. And that was the motivation for that. It wasn't, we got to justify this. And we had let Reyes go, so we could have let Cespedes go, but we didn't, largely because of the kind of impact he had on the team and its success.
All right, how about one guy you did let go? Take me through the, I'm sure, difficult decision to move on from Daniel Murphy after his postseason success.
I've told Daniel this. I think that was, during my time as general manager, that was the opportunity I regret the most. We should have kept him. And it wasn't, for lack of money. It was just, David made a big change offensively during that 2015 season. In the second half of that season, Daniel was killing it. I mean, pulling the ball, hitting home runs. You remember, the Chicago series in the playoffs, but it happened during the last couple of months of the season, too. He was a very different hitter in 2015. Kind of reminded me a little bit of escapes me for the moment, but he was a very different hitter at the end of 15, and he was very, very good in the playoffs. World Series, little tailed off, made an error or two, and I think that at the time the question was, who's the real Daniel Murphy? The one who had played for the Mets for a period of time, or the one that had appeared as recently as late 2015. And, the bottom line is we should have signed him. We should have had more confidence in him the changes that he had made to drive the ball rather than kind of slicing it to left field the way he was known for earlier in his career. But, wish we had that one back. And I've told Daniel that.
Sal Licata on the fair. We're talking with Sandy Alderson. A couple more for you, Sandy, here before we let you go, and we greatly appreciate your time. Called about this before. You were the president when Zach Scott made the move to trade Javi Baez for Pete Crow Armstrong. Now, I'm a believer in going all in. You guys were at a spot where you just brought in Lindor, be aggressive. What led to the decision of PCA being the one to go the other way for Javi Baez?
Well, I think there were a couple of things. First of all, if you recall at that time, we were actually in first place by a couple of games. And so there was a real desire to reinforce the team. And there weren't a lot of options at that time, as I recall. Baez was one of them. There were one or two others, but ultimately kind of zeroed in on Baez. And, to the Cubs' credit, they insisted on Crow Armstrong. Now, Crow Armstrong, you know, was a number one pick for us. And you got to give credit to Tommy Tanis and the scouting staff at that time for selecting him. He played six games for us and then got hurt. And I think there was a little concern about any long-term impact of the shoulder injury that he sustained. But the bottom line is that, you know, we wanted to get better. We thought that Baez could help us significantly, and they insisted on Crow Armstrong. And so, you know, Zach came to me and said, this is kind of what we, where we are and what we need to do if we're going to do anything. And so I said, yes. So, you know, credit to the Detroit Tigers when we got Cespedes, that they focused on Fulmer and wouldn't trade Cespedes without trading Fulmer. You know, same goes to the Cubs. So, you know, he's been great for them this year. And if he continues to be great for them, he will, you know, that will be one that Mets fans, if they don't rue it already, will ruin the future. But it's kind of how things roll in at the trade deadline. And I remember talking to Steve Cohen about it much, much later. You know, we sort of both agreed that it was something that, you know, we needed to do something at that time. Unfortunately, Jacob deGrom got hurt shortly after the trade deadline, and, you know, we fell out of first place, and the season didn't end well. So, you know, as an organization, we made the effort, and didn't work out.
Last one for you, Sandy, and again, we greatly appreciate your time. We're talking with Sandy Alderson here. David Wright's going to have his number five retired tonight. SNY is going to premiere The Right Way. It's a tremendous show. I saw it. I think it's the best documentary that they've done. Sandy, you're, of course, in it a little bit there. They got everybody talking about it. There have been some ups and downs in his career, the roller coaster, mainly because of the injury, whether it's the ballpark in Citi Field, which is a little part of it, but the injuries. And it seemed to me like there was a little bit of sadness in there from Wright. But if you step back and say, geez, he was able to work through these injuries, work his butt off, get back on the field, get to the World Series, hit a home run in the World Series, and even to the point where he could get out there and take the field one last time in front of his young daughter. To me, it was a happy ending, and of course, having his number five retired. When you look at the entirety of his career, is there more sadness with the injury because it could have been more, or is it a happy story for David Wright?
Well, from my standpoint, it's a happy story, and that's largely because of, you know, the personal relationship and knowing what a great person he is. At the same time, it, you know, it's a little bittersweet because if you think back to the first half of David's career or first part of his career, you know, what the expectations were, what the possibilities were. I mean, we're talking about a Hall of Fame career, but for the injuries. And so in that sense, it's bittersweet, but it's also I think important to understand that that's the nature of the game. It's about performance and the ups and downs. It's about possibilities of injuries. It involves human beings. These are you know, human beings with physical frailties like all of us. It's not just data, you know, that gets thrown out there. And I think that's something that has gotten lost a little bit. But underlying the performance and the player aspect was, you know, the human being. And I think that David, the person he is, comes out triumphant, notwithstanding the bitter sweetness of the end of his career. And but ultimately that's because of who he is, you know, his family, and the relationship that he established with Mets fans.
And obviously it's going to culminate on Saturday when they hang that number 5 to the rafters for good. Sandy, I can't thank you enough. Pleasure to talk to you and catch up with you. Appreciate the time. Enjoy this week. I know you're going to be hanging out with a lot of former, you know, guys that you played, that you brought in here, guys that played for you as a GM, the managers, all that stuff. So enjoy it these next couple of days. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Sal. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.